Hello? Hello? It's so dark, where am I? Cake bitch? Anyone? Hello?
With your host, Glim Glim. I'm joined here today with a bitch of mine.
Hi, everyone. Glim Glim's taken over. I'm a little frightened. Nelly doesn't like it.
That little bitch, Cakewolf, hasn't been covering enough cat things this month. So I had to lock him away in his special place for a while. Teach him a lesson. Anyway, I suppose they are covering a show here, Monsters, running from the late 80s to early 90s. Today, covering episode 14 of season 2. This one is titled Bed and Boar. Should have been titled Bed and Cats. It aired January 21st of 1990. The director is Sarah Driver. She's not a cat. Hasn't directed any cat things. The writer, David O'Dell, hasn't written any cat things. And the actors include Steve Buscemi. You'll know him. He's quite famous. He's a bit of a cool cat, I suppose. I would like to get a hold of his soul.
Oh my goodness. I hope Buscemi's listening so he knows to run.
Nobody wants to run from Glim Glim. Glim Glim gives lots and lots of love.
What happened to all your fur, Glim Glim? Why are you so naked?
Don't address me unless I ask you to.
Okay, Glim Glim.
Now, my little bitch, I'll have you do the hosting of this episode. I like to see you do my biddings and squirm.
All right, so in Bed and Boar, we have a very strange episode. Buscemi is staying in a rundown hotel, or motel, while he is out hawking silverware. He's a door-to-door salesman. And he has some very noisy neighbors, and they're clearly fighting very hardcore. And he calls the front desk and asks to be moved to another room. But the front desk doesn't want anything to do with him, so they tell him that they can't move him, even though the rest of the motel is completely empty. He's very angry. He hangs up, and the next thing you know, the phone rings, and on the other end is just a bunch of heavy breathing.
I like heavy breathing.
I thought you probably did, Glim Glim.
I like to do heavy breathing on the back of your neck while you're fucking that little cunt of yours.
Ew. Anyway. So, eventually this heavy breathing turns into a man's voice, and he says, get in your car and get as far away as you can. And earlier, Buscemi threatened to call the police if they didn't quiet down, and this heavy-breathing man, he says, there's no outside police line. I mean, no outside line. You can't call the police, so good try.
I like all of the sounds of suffering coming from the other side of the wall. Sounds like the man's beating his wife with the furniture.
Glim Glim, you're one fucked up cat. Anyways, so a little bit later, you hear a knock on the door, and a small, frightened voice say, please help me. And this is when we meet Sue Weatherbell. Weatherbell? Yeah. Weatherbee, sorry. She is the farmer's wife.
I believe it's Weather Bitch.
Weather Bitch. Okay. We can call her Weather Bitch for this episode. She informs Buscemi, I don't actually know what his character's name is, he's just going to be Buscemi, that her husband is a pig. You know how we talk about men like they're pigs. Well, maybe you don't, Glim Glim. You call them bitches.
Oh, just humans are bitches.
She informs Buscemi that all of the men she's met and married are Prince Charming when she first meets them, and they turn into Porky Oink Oink. She says she wants to call the police, but then she changes her mind, saying that the police don't need to hear somebody that's a woman who's hysterical. And so she talks to Buscemi for a while, asks questions, gets a little conversation going, and he asks, did you change your mind about calling the police? And she says, I'm not so mad anymore. And this is when the husband resurfaces. He says,
I don't think it's necessary to call police in any situation. All you really need is some drugs and a giant dildo.
Okay, Glim Glim. That is not where this episode goes. So the husband's outside, he's threatening to sniff her out, and she takes that very literally for a good reason. It turns out her husband is not just a chauvinistic pig, he is a literal pig. She didn't leave him after he became a pig because his farming land is worth millions of dollars, so she's going to try and wait him out, get him dead, and take all his money.
I like the way she thinks.
This is also when she starts seducing Buscemi, says that she's going to need a partner to help her manage the money, which is a recurring theme apparently in this series, and so she needs someone smart and a man.
There's nothing better than seducing someone with menstrual blood.
Okay. So this
How
is when...
How do you seduce men?
Show up naked and bring pizza.
I would rather go with the menstrual blood.
You're not a pizza cat?
You should try it sometime. Just wait until that point in the month. Rub it all over your face.
Rub the blood clots
Howl in. At your mate. And then hit him over the head. And then just start fucking him in the ass.
Oh, so I gotta get a strap on, too.
It's the only way.
This is too complicated. Anyways, so she finds out Buscemi is not actually a divorcee. But he convinces her, well, he tries to convince her that he will become a divorcee. So essentially, he is a pig. He's trying to tell her that he's gonna quit his job as a silverware salesman and help her manage the money. She says, I'm not too crazy about silver, and then a couple seconds later says, do you still love me? And Buscemi says, the more I have you, the more I want you. And this is when her husband breaks through the wall. And Buscemi stabs him with one of the silverware knives. And she waves her hands at the pig, and the pig dies. So she's some sort of magic sorceress.
Well, that's how you get rid of the things that you summon.
And so it turns out she is somewhat a witch who turns men into pigs. And Buscemi turns around, and he is becoming a pig. And that is basically where the story leaves off.
This kind of reminds me of a friend of mine named Circe. Back in the days when Greek gods were big.
Yeah, she was known to turn men into animals. It also reminded me of the Lady Gaga song, Swine.
Well,
do you know Lady Gaga?
I
personally
don't actually care for any kind of music other than the sounds of humans wailing in hell. But there is a movie that this one reminded me of that I would like to recommend to the listeners. You can listen to it by joining the Patreon page of the Padded Room Podcast. For a measly pittance, you can enjoy Darian Brock talking about a movie from 1991 called Strays. It's all about stray cats killing humans. And there's nothing better about that, now is there?
Well, I would disagree, because I am human, Glim Glim.
You're a fucking cunt, bitch, whore. And you'll do what I say.
I don't like you much, Glim Glim.
Well, I suppose you'll not like me much tonight, when you're screaming beneath my tentacles. Cunt, bitch, whore. What would you give the monster?
A 2.
I think the monster deserves more of a 1, considering it's not a cat.
Yeah? I think that Matt Cakewolf would disagree.
He's in hell right now, and he doesn't have an opinion.
Okay.
And so on. So, would you say that this episode gets higher than a 1?
I personally would give it about a 3. You hate it, though, don't you, Glim Glim?
Anything that is not a cat deserves nothing.
So, if they had been turned into cats, it would be your favorite episode yet.
Well, of course.
Okay.
All right. I suppose we're done with the bed and bar. A bit of a bar, if you ask me. Well, I suppose I'll be on my way, and I'll leave you alone to do the rest of the show yourself.
What?
Until tonight.
Bring me...
When I have my own show with your asshole.
Can I please have Cake Wolf back?
Bye-bye.
All right, so I guess I am back. I've been set bizarre. Free.
Did Glim Glim wax your asshole while you were down there?
I have a very strong talent that includes. I'm very good at giving myself PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and just kind of pushing things to the back. Whatever happened, and I don't really have to think about it because it's not in there, it's not in my brain box.
Oh, because
all I have to live with is the scars.
He, like, bleached my asshole. It was weird.
With
his tentacle. I was so uncomfortable.
Moving forward, now that I'm back, we're going to cover Mr. Swalber, which is episode 15 of season 2 of the show Monsters. This one aired 28th of January in 1990, and this was one of my childhood favorites, so I'm pretty excited to get back into this bad boy. And I have to say, it's actually better than what I remember it being. So our director here, we have covered before. This is Warner Shook. Warner Shook is kind of all over the place with writing, directing, and acting, but he hasn't done a great deal of things. He has done Mr. Swalber, that we're covering. He's also done Satan in the Suburbs, which was a great episode of Monsters.
I loved that episode.
And a few episodes of Tales from the Dark Side is under his belt as well. So, as far as our writer, we are looking at a dude named Stephen L. Nelson. And this is actually the only thing that he is credited for writing. We have another writer, Jewel Selbo, and we've covered her before as well. She is the Disney princess that wrote a lot of Disney movies, and they were all sequels to classics. Our actress here is Kate McGregor Stewart. She is all over the place as well, little bit parts. She was in Adam's Family, and she just had a small role there playing an agent. We also have, as an actor, Robert Oliveri. And Robert Oliveri, he's kind of more iconic. He was Kevin in Edward Scissorhands. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, he was Nick Szczesny. And throughout the other movies of Honey, I Shrunk and Blew Up and etc., he was Nick.
How many were there?
I believe there were 3. So he's a child actor of the 80s. I haven't really seen him around since, like, you know, mid-90s doing the Honey, I Shrunk the Stuffs.
Honey, I Shrunk and Blew Up Everything.
Yeah, Yeah. Honey, I shrunk. Honey, I blew up. Honey, I stepped on. Honey, I ate. What?
Is he the kid in this episode?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he plays one of the kids in Honey, I Shrunk the Kid.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. He was the one that had a real attachment to the aunt, called it Auntie.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I watched it.
He was the nerd kid. Yeah.
He looks like a nerd kid in mm-hmm. this episode, too.
Yeah, basically, the father had two kids, a daughter and a young boy, I believe. Or no, he also had an older boy, too.
Yeah, I think there was a teenager.
So our dude here, he was the, Robert O'Leary was the youngest. But yeah, anyway. So basically, what we have here is Robert O'Leary playing Roy Barton. And Roy has a younger, an older sister named Barbie. And a really shitty mother. And the two of them boss him around. They make him go and get them, like, cake and ice cream and soda pops all day long, constantly bugging him to do stuff. And all he wants to do is play with his train set. He has a homemade train set and a bunch of homemade dinosaurs that are made out of tinfoil that he was obsessed with. In his little setup, he has these dinosaurs protecting a young boy that kind of looks like him that's made out of clay. And the boy is just kind of sitting there. It looks like he's waiting, the little clay boy. And he keeps, like, checking out this little clay boy and playing with the dinosaurs around it and kind of looking all pensive at it as his mother and sister treat him like garbage. At one point, the sister comes down and tells him that he's got to wash the mother's favorite red dress because...
Blouse.
Right. Blouse, yeah. Because the pastor really loves this red blouse. And they're going to go to some, like, shindig tonight with the pastor. And she wants to jump the pastor's bones. Because apparently Roy doesn't have a father around. Wonder why. I mean, shit bitch of a mother probably chased him away. So he is down there doing his chores as told. And the sister basically comes down to sabotage Roy's job of taking care of this dress. She dumps in a bunch of bleach, and that's going to fuck that up pretty hard. She also goes and digs into a giant barrel, which apparently contains dandelion wine. The mother, she makes her own wine at home, and she's got this giant barrel of it. So,
yeah, it seems really unsafe and kind of disgusting.
Yeah.
Whatever.
She puts a ladle in there and drinks some because she thinks that it rosies her cheeks and makes her even more beautiful, which she can barely believe is possible because isn't she gorgeous? Roy just kind of rolls his eyes at her, but he's not, like, outrightly pissy to her.
So, and, like, she has the total pig nose, by the way.
Yeah, well, she's,
maybe it's the last episode.
Her name is Barbie, but she is, anything but a Barbie. Barbie is missing ribs in order to be, you know, the physique that she is. And his sister, Barbie, his sister's got probably, like, 5 or 6 extra, ribs here. She is a girthy woman.
I don't think that's so much true, but she has a pig nose. I have a pig nose, so maybe that's why I noticed it.
Anyway.
Kind of squat and very round nostrils.
No, I would not put you in comparison with this monstrosity. I think the fact that she's so awful and mean to Roy kind of makes her seem more grotesque in my mind.
For sure.
But
she did not seem
like
a nice person.
She is a terrible person. And she's asking Roy, you know, I'm glamorous, aren't I? And Roy is just kind of like,
ew, you're my sister.
Sure. And she gets all pissed off about this and basically takes one of his dinosaurs and crushes it. And he gets all sad. He has to rebuild this stegosaurus of his. So he starts doing that. And he's also eating some cereal. And finds a prize in there. He puts the prize inside of a vase full of water because it says to drop it in water and watch it grow. By the time that he comes back from a food run to get his mother some ice cream sandwiches, soda pops, and all kinds of other crazy chores that she makes him do constantly. When he comes back, there is a creature that looks like a tiny green sweaty dinosaur, and it talks all regal-like and states that it's...
I don't know about that.
states that its name is Schwalbur.
I literally wrote, sounds like Barney smokes 3 packs a day. So okay. I don't think it sounds very regal.
Well, I suppose my interpretation of regal must come from the fact that I smoke too much myself. And I guess that says that I have too high of an opinion on myself, so I'm going to have to ask you to look at me with my pants down later and make fun of the size of my penis to bring me back down to earth.
Okay.
Have me eat some of that humble soil.
All right, I'll get my magnifying glass out.
All right. So, yeah, already
Glim
working.
Glim Glim shrink your penis?
Glim Glim?
Yeah.
Not gonna even mention that name. We're gonna go ahead and bypass the fact that you had said the summoning name and hope that it doesn't come back. Just gonna cross my fingers and hope
shall
that
not be named showed up.
Well, we're just gonna cross our fingers and hope that it is underneath the bed and having a nap.
I did not summon it to begin with. Who summoned it?
Sometimes it comes on its own accord.
This seems like weird rules.
Well, I mean, do you have a guide?
Did you do it?
Do you have a guide to demons? Was this like a book that you can pick up at any Barnes & Noble?
I just repeated some very old words I found on a medieval scroll. Is that... Oh, shoot, that's right. That's bad.
Yeah, that's bad. Also, reading any nutritional facts on the sides of cereal boxes, that's bad, too.
Oh, those chemicals?
Yeah, they are, after all, named after demons, so... you're gonna get one if you start reading nutritional facts, folks. Stay away from that. Or you might end up getting a Schwalbur, which apparently is the name and species of this thing.
Get swole.
So, yeah. Schwalbur basically says, hey, how's it going, kid? Give me some lick-em-ups. And instantly my mind goes to Danger Zone. But lick-em-ups is not anything awful. It's actually just any kind of liquid because... Schwalbers need lots of lick-em-ups in order to grow. So the kid, Roy, he grabs Schwalbur a bunch of soda pops.
Yep, and it's a lot of soda.
Yeah. So, this Schwalbur...
It's a lot of sugar.
Yep, this Schwalbur isn't interested in eating people. He's actually interested in drinking lick-em-ups, which is fizzy sodas, water, pretty much anything like
paint.
That.
Although he didn't like the paint, he did try the paint.
He did kind of look like something that would eat people. Like, he did not look completely friendly. He had friendly tones to him, but he also kind of resembled, like, those poisonous frogs in the jungle that kind of look cute, but at the same time you have this sense of stay the fuck away.
Yeah. Drunk, sweaty Barney.
Yeah?
Except he's green.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, maybe.
Drunk, sweaty
He is kind of weirdo.
Maybe it's just the voice.
So, yeah, Mr. Schwalbur, he is getting all of the lick-em-ups, and throughout this, we've got Roy's mother calling Roy, telling him to do stuff, bossing him around, and Schwalbur keeps telling him that he needs to basically stand up for himself. That this is not good. He really needs to get a backbone, and his penis needs to grow a few sizes. Like the Grinch had his heart grow, Roy's penis needs to grow.
I feel like penis growing around your mother and your sister is weird, so...
I'm not saying erection, I'm saying just, you know...
Oh, it needs to hang closer to the ground.
Right. All right. Either that or, you know,
some bigger, heavier balls.
Right. Some balls, some penis, whatever. I mean, you know, you can have really tiny balls and a huge penis. I'm sure you're still going to be fine. Well, I guess if you've... Wait a second. What am I saying? If you've got a really humongous set of balls but a tiny penis, I don't think that's going to do you well.
Well, I mean, it's not the size that matters as long as it can squirt out some sperms.
I guess, but...
I mean, if we're talking reproduction-wise.
I guess, but if it's tiny, can it even, like, work? That's why...
Sure, it can.
That's why I'm thinking giant penis. Like, when someone says, you know, you need some balls. Like, it makes more sense to say you need some penis, right? Or is that like homosexual innuendo?
Well, I mean, I don't think that matters, the homosexuality of it all.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
but usually, if you're trying to give someone, like, some confidence and saying, like, you need confidence, like, you need some balls, like, wouldn't it make more sense to say you need some bigger dick than bigger balls?
Definitely,
Because the size of the balls doesn't really matter in the context. No,
it does. I mean, visually it matters. If you have a giant penis and teeny tiny marble balls, like, that's going to look real weird.
But you're not even going to, it's going to be like in the, it's like also the shadow, like, it's like the shadow of Innsmouth, you know? It's like, it's just, it's overshadowed by the tentacle, you know?
I feel also like tiny balls would represent like low reproductive abilities, which evolutionary wise would be very unappealing.
That's probably good for most men that don't want to have babies.
Yeah, but most men eventually want to have babies.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm seeing the change happen in you.
Well, I'm basically saying here that I think we should forego the dated term of you need to grow some bigger balls to you need to grow a bigger dick.
I think it should just be you should grow a vagina because those are tougher.
They're tougher, but they can't penetrate.
I know, but anyone who's been kicked in the vagina, like, does not double over in pain.
We're getting pretty off track here.
tiny balls, big penis. Keep going.
Giant dick, tiny
marble
balls.
Marble balls.
So basically what happens is the mother comes down for her dress eventually. And, through this, time, we've also have seen a lot of just kind of weirdo, like, almost montage-y, but not quite. It's basically a little bit of Stand By Me with a sweaty dinosaur that's about 3 feet tall. And, so Roy and Schwalbe connect because Schwalbe gets a little bit drunk on the dandelion wine and regales tales of how these other Schwalbers hide in toy packages and cereal boxes in hopes to, grow bigger and enjoy lick-em-ups for the rest of their life. And that's how some of them do it, but not all of them. So open up those cereal boxes, kids. Maybe you'll find yourself a Schwalbe. Anyway, when the mother does come down for the dress, she finds it all bleached up and ruined. Barbie's down there, his sister Barbie, to experience this horrifying display of motherhood because she eats it up. She loves it.
She immediately says, I didn't do it. He did it.
Yeah. So the mother starts basically screaming at the kid, and the kid keeps saying, please don't get angry. Please don't get angry. I think there's some heavy abuse going on here. Not just verbal, but probably some heavy physical abuse for this poor kid. Anyway, he seems horribly frightened by the mother. And the whole time that she's telling him that he's going to, you know, suffer and this and that, Schwalbe is in the background calling her a fat cow and a pig and a cunt and like every name in the book that's appropriate for this 90s TV
she's
show.
She's a flea bite.
Yeah, flea bite. All kinds of stuff. I love that, too. That's a great insult. You're a flea bite. He's telling her all kinds of horrible stuff. Like when she says, you know, the pastor won't see me in my beautiful dress. And he's, like, saying something about, like, how it would be, like, putting shit on a pig. Like, you know, she's just not going to be any prettier. You can't do it. She's just so awful ugly. And basically, she gets pissed off and comes at the kid's train set and starts breaking all the dinosaurs for every word that the kid says. So she ends up breaking a bunch of dinos, and she hears a little bit more of these insults and takes it to an extreme by grabbing a hose and thinking that her boy Roy has a pet doggy.
Yeah, somehow she believes that the dog has decided to hurl English insults at her.
Right. So
none of that makes sense.
She plans to take this hose and drown the dog in front of him.
She's a pretty horrible person.
Make him watch. Yeah. And Barbie's all excited about this. She can't wait to see a drowned dog.
Well, so, until her mom says, open the door and let's see what's there.
Well, she's afraid of the dog, I think. She's all down for the dog dying. She's just afraid to see it because she thinks it's going to be angry. But yeah, so Schwalbe at this time, he's hiding inside of basically a tool shed closet. And she gets the hose and starts spraying it in there, saying, you're going to die, you're going to drown, and blah, blah, blah. And Roy tries to stop her because he made a friend, Schwalbe. He loves Schwalbe. And, she puts him in a headlock and just keeps spraying the hose in there. Well, this doesn't work out so well for her because Schwalbe loves lick-em-ups, and she's just giving him lick-em-ups. So she basically makes a giant Schwalbe, which comes out, and it's like, what would you say, 10 feet tall at this point?
I don't think it's quite 10 feet, but it's taller than an adult person, yeah. So I would say maybe 7 feet tall.
It looks really cool. It looks like something out of an H.P. Lovecraft story, like the frog people, kinda. It basically throws up all this green slime on the mother and daughter, and basically it turns them into obedient slaves for Roy, because they've pretty much shit on Roy his whole life. And now, he's going to have the opportunity to boss them around a bit.
Yep, they're going to do his bidding.
Yeah, and he has made a little clay friend for his clay version of himself on the train set, and it's of Schwalbe.
It's so cute.
And they're sitting together, and the little boy doesn't look sad anymore. He looks happy, and him and Schwalbe, both the clay figures and themselves in real life, have their arms around each other, and they're playing train set, yep. And the mother and daughter are making all the train noises. Mm-hmm. So I think that was an amazing episode. I love it, and it's very kid-friendly. It's something you could definitely let your kids watch. Not scary at all, but really cool.
Yeah, not scary. It was pretty wonderful. It was goofy and
I would say, magical. Yeah, I mean, I have a nostalgic hard-on for this one, so I'm going to give this one a 5 as far as the monster goes. I think he looks really goofy and fake, but at the same time, you've got the history behind him that it is basically a monster that is hiding inside of cereal boxes as a toy. And that is really creative, and I've never seen it before. And by looking it up, I haven't found anything like that, so.
This is just
It's an original monster.
The monster rating is just how much we like the monster, right?
Yeah.
So I'm also going to give him a 5 because I think he was wonderful.
Yeah, and I love how he calls all of these, like, his love for drinking is lick-em-ups. He calls them lick-em-ups.
Good friend, good lick-em-ups.
Yeah, so I really want to make a themed cocktail for it and call it the Mr. Schwalbe lick-em-ups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got to involve dandelion wine,
I gotta get one of those licking
wait till that's in licking
nip sticks, you know, where you like lick the stick and you dip it in the powder.
Oh, the fun dip?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm thinking kind of crazy. We'll see what happens. Anyway.
He's inspired.
Yeah, I love it. And I think it could work as a movie. I would love to see it as a movie. There's not much I would change about this other than like making the monster a little bit more higher on the priority of budgeting, like make it look a little better.
You know, actually, I think this would make a really cute, like, Disney Pixar.
Okay.
As an animated sort of thing. I think it would lend itself well to that.
Yeah.
You could really play up the whole, like, ridiculous aloofness, ugliness of the mother and sister that way. Like, make them comically, cartoonishly garish.
I love it. I wouldn't care who did it. I just want to see it. And I give this episode a 5, and I couldn't be happier with it. I think it's excellent. I want a little Mr. Schwalbe doll too.
I don't know if this is because I see how much you like it, but I'm gonna give it a 5 too.
Okay.
I mean, I've never seen this as a child. But I could see this. I would have probably been scared, actually, as a child of Mr. Schwalbe somehow. But, he's cute. He's adorable. Yeah. The story is really sweet, too. Like, it's just, you know, a story about a boy who... Oh, his father sends him postcards, but he sends it to the school because he doesn't want the mother to know where he's
at. Yeah, I glazed over a few things, so if you want to watch the episode, you're going to be getting a little bit more than what I covered.
Mr. Schwalberg?
They swell it. We can't even talk. They spell it different ways depending on where you're looking it up. Anyways. But it's like, it's hard to pronounce. It's kind of like Schlauber, and I think that's how
Schlauber.
I think that's how they pronounce it. Anyways, like slobbering.
He becomes like the ideal father figure for a little boy. Like every little boy wishes his dad was like this.
Yeah, this little boy also...
that was my point.
He, at the beginning, there's an inner monologue of the child where he's just sort of like reminiscing on times where he was left alone. And not in a negative way. Like, he wants to be left alone. He does not want anyone around. Like, his perfect world would just be him being alone with his toys.
Yep.
And, well, now he's got an even better way to look at life because now he has a friend.
He has a Schwalber.
And I think that's kind of the lesson that...
Schwalber.
Things might look really down and you might feel as though you're the only one that, like... can really understand the way that life is for you, but for everyone there is a counterpart, and you know, you can just, you'll find them eventually if you're looking
in the bottom of cereal boxes,
or maybe they'll just pop out, you know.
Yeah,
maybe they'll just come to you.
Yeah, that's a good lesson.
Yeah,
I don't think we had a lesson for the Bed and Boar.
Oh,
Glim kind of freaked me out.
Okay,
sorry. Ugh. I don't want to
Would
summon.
Would you please shut I'm the sorry. Fuck up?
The tentacle up Jesus my back Christ. Was very uncomfortable.
The lesson for the Bed and Boar, I think that one would mainly just ride on the fact that, you know, it's a very obvious lesson. You're married, like, just be faithful and don't be a pig. And when there's something awful going on next door, call the police and don't get involved, because a lot of times situations like that, they're happening for a reason. Like, usually it's not a very good reason, but it's not a reason that you should involve yourself in. Being a knight in shining armor is not always beneficial to your health, mentally or physically. And a lot of the times when police are called to domestic occurrences, they're allowed to go on because the person that's being abused doesn't stand up for themselves.
They don't press charges because you gotta let people just scared.
Sometimes you gotta let people stand up for themselves and you know, just let the police interject where necessary. Like, you can call for help and so on and so forth, but I think for the most part, it's safer to put yourself out of harm's way.
The police have a better grasp on how to handle these situations. Most people do not
have the world that we're living in, a lot of times when you involve yourself, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Like, there's occurrences where things like that have happened. Someone has interjected and then been sued. Like, I will tell you a story. My buddy Chris, who has been on the podcast as Dalarthian, him and I were working at McDonald's when we were, I think, like 16, 17. There was a woman that was being violated in her car by a man. We didn't know if they were a couple, or we didn't know the story or anything. We just heard screams of a woman saying rape, and him and I ran out from the McDonald's, and he was driving a Tracker at the time, which had an open top, and we had weapons in there because we were living in a very bad area. And he and I grabbed baseball bats. His was an aluminum bat.
That was your weapon?
Yeah. And, so he basically... Chris,
effective, but...
Dalarthian is a huge guy. Like, his arms, I've said, I think, on the podcast, are as big as my torso. They're big fucking arms. And he gets that way from working on a farm, throwing bales of hay and shit. And he basically, you know... And the guy was big, too. He puts the aluminum bat on the guy's neck and pulls back, and I just start wailing on him with the other bat. The woman was beat up, and her clothes were torn. You know, he's in, like, the dark area of this McDonald's parking lot in this shitty, you know, podunk town, basically physically harming her. We beat the shit out of the guy, and when the police came... because the people that we were working with inside called the police. They were arresting Chris and I because the woman was not, you know, really saying anything about the guy because they were apparently engaged, or I forget if they were engaged or something. It was like they were a couple.
Oh, well, yeah.
And I mean, she was used to the abuse. The police were aware of the situation because they had dealt with the two of them before, and they didn't seem too happy about arresting us, but the guy was pressing charges on us, and the woman was begging him not to press charges on us. And thank God that he listened to his wife not to press charges, or else Chris and I would have ended up in jail. But yeah,
so actually the moral of that story is don't wail on people with baseball bats.
Well,
just call the police. Let's go back to that. Just call the police and let the professionals handle it.
Yeah. Crazy day. As for other media that you can find, Schwalbers, there really aren't any, but the love of dinosaurs, and I think Schwalbers is supposed to be kind of like reminiscent to some dinosaur thing.
Yeah, he feels very lizardy, dinosaur-y.
There's a game called Dino Crisis, which was out for the original PlayStation, and you can find it on plenty of places. The Dreamcast, you can also find it digitally on like the PlayStation Network store. Dino Crisis was made by the dude who did The Evil Within and the Resident Evil game. He was the director behind that. He's the director of Dino Crisis, and basically Dino Crisis plays as a survival horror game, much like Resident Evil, but with dinosaurs. And you can't go wrong with that. It's a horror game, and they do manage to make dinosaurs scary in it. You do have to put yourself in a position of suspended disbelief, because its graphics are dated, but it still manages to get you, I think. And there's some really excellent scenarios with a T-Rex coming at you now and then, and you never know what's around the next corner. And it's fun. You're fighting dinosaurs. And
Honey, it's family hour. There must be something on. Oh, wow! Candy Critters!
Oh!
Oh, great! It's Monsters, our favorite show!
Shh! It's starting.
Ha, 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 ha.